What's up? Oh my gosh. Are we going to do it? Yes, we are. What's up, everyone? Aaron Nagler here with Cheesehead TV, coming to you live, 7 p.m. Eastern from New York City. You may hear some banging of pots and pans, some clapping outside. That is because every day at 7 p.m. Eastern, New York puts their hands together for healthcare workers around the city, everybody on the front lines fighting the coronavirus. We obviously thank them from the bottom of our hearts. Good to see you fine folks here, everybody chatting it up here in the chat. Brandy, be nice. Why the first thing I got to read from you, you bagging on Corey Behnke? Come on, don't do that. Corey's the man. You may not always agree with him, but he's passionate, and he's a huge Packers fan, and that alone means he's pretty awesome. Nagler, what was MySpace's reaction when Rodgers was drafted in 05? See, Joe, I'm going to let that slide because I heard you on the Zoom on Monday, and now I realize how young you are. So take your old man shots, okay? I get it. All right, yes. Let me tell you, when we were moving in covered wagons back in 2000 when I moved to New York City, it was a very different time. But hey, I will say, there were a lot of unhappy Packers fans when Aaron Rodgers was drafted. And I know it's a miracle now how nobody remembers that. Nobody seems to put their hand up when asked, hey, remember when Aaron Rodgers was drafted? Who was pissed out of their minds that they didn't get another weapon for Brett? Those people seem to be kind of MIA all of a sudden. But I can assure you, via the comment section at cheeseheadtv.com, that there were a whole lot of them. That's all I'll say about that. Cheesehead TV must earn my likes and clicks. David, that's why I'm here, man. Each and every day on May 13th? Who else is live chatting Packers with you? It ain't the folks at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel or the Green Bay Press Gazette. It's me or Tom Grassi. That's what you got. And look, Grassi's the man. I wouldn't even begin to approach his greatness. But, you know, when you get tired of Tom Grassi, you come here and you talk to me. Because who the hell else is talking Packers on May 13th, you know? Good day, sir. Good day, Popeye's Beef. Big B, what is up, Big B? Snacks to Green Bay? Say yes, Nag. Say yes. John, I'm going to Magic 8-Ball. Outlook does not look good, especially after the Hester signing. I would be, at this point, very, very surprised if they went the snacks route. I mean, I'm all in. But I don't call the shots, unfortunately. Evening, Nagler. Evening, Kevin. How are you? Sternberger will have 700 yards and 6 TDs. Woo! The TDs wouldn't surprise me. I wouldn't be surprised at all if he was a red zone weapon. 700 yards plus sounds a bit ambitious. But, hey, I'm here for it. No doubt about it. Do you think A.J. Dillon pounding the ball yesterday in practice will help our run defense? If only they were practicing. Christo, what's up? How you doing? Who is Grom Tossie? Now, be nice. Be nice. Why can't we just be nice to everybody? You know, I have a very long tradition. And, you know, some people recognize it, some people don't. But you know, when fired upon, return the fire. But until fired upon, I'm chill. I just, you know, people want to come at me, I'll get nasty. But, you know, otherwise, I love everyone. Can you tell the new intern, Susanna, that she is doing great, please? Brandy, I most certainly will. If you guys haven't checked out Susanna's videos, please do so. Let's Talk Football on Cheesehead TV here on the YouTube channel. Susanna's great. She's a Green Bay native. Corey met her. I have not met her yet, but Corey met her earlier this year, pre-coronavirus, etc. He went to Green Bay. We have plans for Susanna during training camp to help us out, and we had thought we were going to be able to utilize her during the offseason when players were in town, getting footage around Lambeau Field, getting practice stuff, etc. But coronavirus put an end to all that. But Susanna will still be helping us out throughout the year. And she started to do some videos for us. She started to make some content, and I think she's killing it. With the help of Cody of course, who is our video guy, who is absolutely killing it in everything he does. But yeah, I will most certainly tell her. She got a shout out on the chat. And thank you for giving her said shout out, because she's fantastic. And I think she's got a good future ahead of her talking Packers. Well, I don't offenses get tired. Commentators always say the defense is tired. Adam, I think because the offense gets to dictate the tempo, usually, not always, but usually, the offense does a lot more substituting. Now, over the years, the defensive side of the ball has started to become much more sub-package oriented, lots more mixing and matching. But even across the lines, there's, you know, fresh bodies. You look on offense, you know, yeah. The only guys who should really be getting tired are the offensive linemen, because they're the only ones who play every single play outside of the quarterback. And the quarterback, what is he doing? He kind of runs around sometimes, maybe when protection breaks down. But most of the time, he's turning around, handing the ball off, five-step drop, get the ball out of his hands. I mean, why is he tired? But, yeah, no, I hear you. It's a ridiculous kind of little cliche that TV commentators and analysts kind of lean on sometimes. But there is a kernel of truth to it because of what I talked about earlier, because the offense can dictate the flow of the game. Steve, thanks for the beer, buddy. Salud. Thanks for the super chat. Yeah. Oh, Sean, happy birthday. Thanks for the super chat. You giving me a super chat on your birthday is kind of weird, buddy. Thanks for doing what you do and chatting Packers on my birthday. Love the draft. Love what we have. Packers going to ball out this year. Can't wait. Sean, I completely agree with that sentiment. Happy birthday, buddy. You're Steve. 1,000%. Does Yosh Neiman have a chance to contribute? Brian, wow, that's a pull right there. You never say never. You got to think that the odds are long given the draft capital they invested into the offensive line during the draft. But he comes to camp, especially a truncated version, whatever it may be. He turns some heads. Yeah, he's got a shot, but it's a long shot. Nags, what position are you most worried about at this point? Eric, I only worry about my children. I never worry about anything on the Packers. If there's a position where I'm most interested to see the competition in camp or throughout the season, how it plays out, probably inside backer. That's the one spot where I'm like, all right, you've got Kirksey, who looked very promising prior to his injuries. You've got a rookie. You've got Ty Summers. You got a couple of guys coming off injuries, etc. It's a great unknown, but that means there's lots of opportunity there. See, you got to be positive, man. Root for your team. Don't worry. Did you ever see Bridge of Spies? That movie has one of the main characters has the perfect attitude. The perfect attitude. When Tom Hanks's character keeps asking the spy, aren't you worried about X or don't you worry about Y? And he keeps responding, would it help? I mean, just worrying about a position group, does that help anything? No. Be excited for the opportunities. Be excited for the future. That's how I roll anyway. I get a lot of people aren't like me. I'm wired very differently, but that's where I come down. My children, I can't help but worry about them. That's a biological thing. I love them. I want them to be safe. I worry about that. Packers position groups, I don't worry. David, thanks for the super chat. If Lazard didn't develop, think wide receiver is a priority. Go Pack, go. That is a very good question. I do think if Lazard hadn't come on towards, you know, the latter half of the year like he did, there's a chance. I'm not saying this is a lock solid thing, but I think there's a chance that Brian maybe pushes a little harder to add to that group. That said, I'm really happy that he stood pat as he did. You saw that they were in the running for Emmanuel Sanders. Sanders chose New Orleans. The Packers probably could have upped their offer a little bit, made it a little more enticing. But, you know, he's got a value that he places on the wide receiver position quite clearly, and he's not going to waver from it, given what he has on hand. And I think Lazard is a part of that. Bryson, thanks for the super chat. His prayer mostly the plan to stop the run. That was what it was. A couple months ago, remember? I did a clipped a video about that. And I actually talked to Kenny Clark about it because I wanted him to know. I was making I just wanted him to know that he's my guy, and like I know it ain't his fault. But yeah, no, prayer is not the full plan. Hope is not a plan. I think we've talked about it a lot before. It's clear that, you know, Mike Pettine has to do some adjusting with how he utilizes his personnel. The addition of Hester, hopefully a development along the line from those young guys, especially Kingsley Keke. You know, I don't think there's any one thing that is the plan or the answer, but they've got to improve. There's no doubt about that. LOL, Curtis Bolton. Yeah, Bolton's another one who will be in that mix. And he actually looked pretty good last summer prior to going down. Matt, thanks for the super chat. Sociable, what's up, buddy? If there was one surprise cut at the end of camp, i.e. Lang, who would it be? Possibly offensive line if one of the rookies balls out. I don't think it would be a surprise, though, right? If Lane Taylor gets cut at the end of camp, I don't think that's a surprise. Now, last night, we were bantering about on Twitter, you know, Jamal Williams could be a surprise cut and or trade candidate. I don't think they cut him. But if Brian Gutekunst gets a call in camp, say somebody else suffers an injury at the position and someone calls looking to trade for a running back, say Jamal Williams, that wouldn't surprise me. But I don't think they cut him outright. But yeah, the offensive line is probably the prime spot for that type of cut, just because there is a real kind of logjam of talent, I think, especially along the interior. I know a lot of people want to say Corey Linsley. I don't see them doing that, but you know, you can't completely rule it out, given how good Patrick looked in his stead when Linsley went down with injury last year. But again, I'd be very surprised if they made that kind of move. Trying to smile more by making a quote Wisconsin corner. What beer should I add for decoration? I have Wisco Disco, Spotted Cow. Any others I'm missing? Oh, a ton, probably. Get an old school Schlitz sign. Come on. Go old school. Rock and roll, man. Schlitz or Pabst or do something old style. Get old style. Some of those old style ads. My grandpa's bar was an old style bar in Chilton, Wisconsin. And this is true. When I used to go there, they had one of those. It was like an arcade game, but it was bowling. It was this long wood table with like these plastic pins at the end. And you would throw this puck basically down the wood and it would hit. And then the pin, it would determine which pins went up. And those were like, you could get a strike or you could get a split or whatever. But, you know, and I would go in there because grandpa was tending bar. It was his bar, so he owned it, and he tended bar there, blah, blah, blah. And I remember asking my mom, like, why do people sit here and pay money to drink colored water? Like, it made no sense to me. Now I'm very well-versed, but at the time, it was very, very mysterious. Spotted Cow, bro. Alex, he said he had Spotted Cow. Come on, do the reading, man. Pay attention. Lining Kugels. I'm down with Lining Kugels. I liked their stuff a lot more before they got bought back in the day. You know, and look, there's still a great Wisconsin beer. There's no doubt about it. And most everybody in Wisconsin has been bought at this point. But yeah, I don't, I'd go old school before I went Liney's. That's just me. Joel, thanks for the super chat. Have you paid attention to MLB owners versus players? We talked about it a bit yesterday. Yeah, a little bit, you know. It's the same framework all the time, right? You know, both sides, especially ownership, wants to pit people against the players. You've already seen the governor of Illinois talking about, oh, they should take a pay cut, sacrifice for the country, some bullshit. Like, it's so ridiculous. I mean, the players have every right to demand certain things, especially since they're the ones who are going to be traveling, quarantined. If a teammate or a trainer or somebody gets sick, they're the ones who are at risk. You know, owners are where? They're at home. They're in their Learjet, their fucking mansion, whatever. They're not in the front lines of anything. So, yeah, I get that everyone, it's a drama, and of course it was going to be, but, you know, I have a hard time wagging my finger at MLB players for not wanting to jump right back in. You know, it's not as simple as, okay, we're all just going to go in and we're going to live in a bubble and we'll just play ball. You know, there's some very real logistical concerns that they have to iron out. And you know, there was never going to be a point where MLB, and I think the NFL is going to go down this road too. And you saw the headlines about the NBA players talking yesterday about wanting to come back. Except, I get it. Everyone's itching to get back, but these are not simple things. These are not like, okay, here's our proposal and let's go. Like, there's going to be a lot of negotiating between everybody, between all the leagues and all the owners and the players and et cetera. And that's to be expected. But why we got to make it this headline thing and this fucking badminton game of, oh, this guy's wrong, this guy's right, and this, you know, blah, blah, blah. Because then you get idiotic sound bites like the governor of Illinois. Like, just let them negotiate because they need to. Dustin, thanks for the super chat. When is the Nagler tell-all book coming out so we can read the Favre stories that you thought would be in Gunslinger but weren't? That's never going to happen. I do know some doozies, though. I know two doozies in particular. But, yeah, that's never – I'm taking that to my grave. I can't wait to see how good or bad Jordan Love does in the NFL. If anything, it's exciting to see what this team does. Austin, thanks for the super chat. I mean, that's the thing, right? That what's so hard about the Jordan Love pick is you are excited at the possibilities – but man, you got to wait. You got to wait. You got to wait years to see the beginning of it. Like, you're going to get little glimpses of training camp and maybe some preseason games. But, you know, for the most part, you got to wait so long. That's going to be hard. But yeah, I'm excited about it too. Keith Abies, what's up? Thanks for the super chat. What do you think of Kamal Martin? I think he has the potential to be a real fire plug in the defense, a guy who is able to get through the wash. I think from what I've seen on his college tape, he does a good job of diagnosing things and not taking false steps, which I think has been a problem around that position for a while in Green Bay. I do worry. I said this yesterday, I think. I do worry about the interior lineman getting up on him and erasing him a little bit. But, yeah, I'm excited. I like his athleticism. I think he's a really good athlete who could add some much-needed sideline-to-sideline ball-hawking type ability. Weston, thanks for the super chat, buddy. Do you think Samuel can make the team new cornerback FSU? I mean, it's a long shot, but I don't think any of those get anybody outside of Jair, Kevin King. I mean, Josh Jackson just because of his draft status, but he's got to fight for it. Kadar Holman, I think, is close to a lock, and Channon Sullivan. Those guys are probably the set right now, but you know, if anybody flashes, they got a shot. Eric, thanks for the super chat. Do you think the run game will have more variations in year two? It seemed like inside runs was their main run play and seemed predictable at times. Yeah, LaFleur actually kind of joked about that during the season when I asked about the stretch zone play. And he said it feels like all we do is stretch zone. They had started to run some inside zone. But, you know, it's funny because when I think stretch zone, I think back to like Peyton Manning in Indianapolis where they would run real wide stretch and he would hold the ball out. You know, and he would either give it or then take it back, make those linebackers suck up and then pull it back and hit Harrison or whoever or Wayne. But, yeah, I'm with you. I would like to see – a little more variation, and maybe that is something they start to develop in year two of the system. Because you have to think, you know, there it's them trying to get all on the same page, offensive linemen working in a new system, albeit, you know, they all came from a zone scheme, so it's not like it was a huge jump or a huge difference, but yeah, I would hope there'd be a little bit more angle blocking, some maybe some counter stuff, some push and pull. I'm down for that. Weston, thanks again, buddy. Watch Love tape. Looks like how Rodgers plays with movement outside of the pocket and how he throws. Plus, he can chuck it 60 yards deep. Yeah, 60. Hell, I saw there's a 70-yarder out there somewhere. Yeah, I mean, the physical ability is undeniable. You cannot look at anything he does on a football field and not get excited about the possibilities, about his physical ceiling. Now, obviously, last year, the turnovers, the real issue – especially intermediate throws with a lack of accuracy. Those are the things that worry you, the decision-making, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, physically, there is not a thing that guy can't do on a football field. And that's what gets you excited. Ben, thanks for the super chat. Chance Rodgers split snaps with Love in 4 years? No chance. Split snaps like in a game that matters? No chance. Chris, thanks for the super chat, buddy. Bryson, thank you for the super chat. Does Ted Thompson make the Hall of Fame, the Pro Football Hall of Fame? I doubt it. Probably deserves to be in there, given that he constructed the Seahawks Super Bowl team and then turned around and constructed a Packers Super Bowl team that actually won the Super Bowl. Throwing his playing days. He should be in the conversation, I would think. But, you know, there's such a log jam. Maybe he makes it in as a senior down the road, you know, but I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. Is it appealing for a wide receiver to play in Green Bay due to more blocking and less pass routes? Well, you know, I'm sure some guys pay attention to that stuff. I think most guys just follow the money. You know, but yeah, maybe you can ask Emmanuel Sanders that. I mean, Sanders, the choice literally was between Green Bay and New Orleans, and he said he didn't want to come to Green Bay because it was too cold. I think that has a lot more to do if they're, you know, weighing offers from other teams than, oh, you're going to be asked to run block a lot more. Don't, you know, get it twisted. I'm sure there are guys who are not great and or willing blockers, but I think for the most part, if the Packers are willing to pay him, they'll do whatever is asked. With all the big rumors right now escalating, do you see anybody Green Bay Packers go after in free agency? Brad, I can't say I'm privy to the big rumors, but no. I think the 90-man roster is pretty much set for the offseason. Maybe they shuffle the bottom of the roster as the offseason goes on, but I'd be very surprised if there was a major acquisition down the road. Adam, season start date prediction, I got nothing for you. Whatever schedule. I mean, things change so quickly these days on the coronavirus front. I mean, information changes daily, numbers, data changes. Today, they wiped out the public data. Can't even access it anymore. I'm going with the schedule until someone tells me differently. It's all good. Oh, Big B dog. Yes, the neighbor's dog. My window's open. And speaking of which, I'm going to have to go because I got to make some dinner. I'm starving. I can't thank you guys enough for hanging out, talking some Packers here on a mid-May evening. You guys are the diehards, 250 of you talking Packers. Can't thank you guys enough. Please, if you're so inclined, hit like on this video, hit subscribe, tell your friends, tell your family. Cheesehead TV, we're devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Have a great night, everybody. Go Pack Go.